management. And and the leadership expected to give guidance on a whole range of issues. Of particular importance on the reports that one would have been getting, especially from your water boards. There are two particular water boards that I'm sure a number of us could be talking of their own experiences. One is the Makhalis. Consistently, without fail, you hear all these stories, you know, taking to court, you know, making sure that everything must go to court that is contested. And also your Amatola water. To a point where with Amatola water, you hear stories that they even hire a law firm on behalf of the board on a simple thing like writing a letter. Obviously, that is costing that water board. I don't know how much does it cost. As I said, we should probably be having our own. Now, that talks to litigation. We have a briefing of emergency on water on leaks. War on leaks, sorry. And of course, that also should take us some bit of time. And then Mzimbubu Dam is another topical issue that we have taken an interest in, maybe without really wasting much of the time than that I've wasted. Let us allow the department to take us through those outstanding issues. Okay, the rest shall emanate out of those. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chair. I shall take you through
my apology. DG, the very last, which was yesterday afternoon, correspondence that we dispatched, also requested that we be appraised of what was in the media. What are the relevant facts? That was an issue of, 722 million rand, SAP program. If you could just be appraised on that one as well. Maybe you just start with that one and then dispense off. And then.
Thank you, Chair. Let me just get my report. But the issue of SAP, Chair, the department started to using SAP way back from 2006. As you know, the department has got an entity as well as the department that is called the main account. So the SAP is used under the water trading entity. The issue of the article is raised on the unlimited licenses for the contract that was concluded in 2016. It was concluded during the time of the former DG Margaret Diedrichs. The program is program 3 under Zanile Makatini, and the CFO was Mr. Mpom Fokeng under the water trading entity. Then in 2017, where we were to make a payment, maybe I must say upfront the article is factually incorrect in terms of what is quoted there. What was then we paid for the contract around 200 million for the 5-year unlimited licenses that was going to provide the platform for all the entities, the water boards and the CMAs, including the water trading entity, in terms of follow the money principle, looking at the same platform. Previously, the AG raised the issue of saying that the department does not have a compatible system in terms of monitoring, whether it's assets, whether it's projects, and SAP was identified as one of those software that could provide that kind of platform where project management can be done on it, assets can be done on it, as well as financial management. So the values that are quoted there, the amount that's been paid, Chair, is not correct. For that contract so far, we only the 200 million, I'll get the exact figure, but I think it was 200 million that was paid. It's not in the nowhere near the figure that was quoted on the newspaper. 285 was paid. But I think the CFO for Water Trading Entity will provide exact figure how much we paid. So we, as the contract was concluded in 2016, there was a contractual obligation that the department had to pay. That money was paid in during 2017 financial year, yes. If I move, Chair, then to the next issues.
I don't know what is the approach that you want us to take. You want to give the DG to present each item and ask question clarities, or do you want us to present the whole thing and then we can then compare the questions? I thought this one is very urgent. Maybe you should have allowed members maybe to ask questions or clarities, then we can move to the next one so that we can be quicker in just finishing this process.
What's your take, Mr. Blunt?
The Chairperson, I agree 100%. I think it's very urgent to discuss this, but also, Chairperson, we need to receive within the next few days a full report from the DG on SAP. We cannot just speculate on, I think it was this much, and we need more detail on this as well.
So we are agreeing that, you can switch off. Thank you. We are agreeing that we should deal with SEP, and then we finish off, and then we get to the rest of the report. Is that, are we okay with that? Okay, thanks, Etij.
Okay. Then the first matter on outstanding issues is the issue of the litigations.
No. What we are agreeing is that let's dispense off with the matter related to SAP. If we are you concluded on it?
On my side, yes, Chair, I've concluded. But as the members have said, we need to provide the report on it as soon as possible. I think maybe we need to agree on a time frame that when we should provide a full report on it.
Okay, Mr. Chong.
The issues that we want clarity on, DG, I hear he's talking about the process of procurement of the system. We're dealing with an allegation that is made by a former official of the entity that has been covered in the newspaper, hence the issue of SEPKIN. We did give a brief at some point on the issue of SEPKIN. What I'm going to propose, Chair, is that the DG should prepare a detailed report with all information pertinent to the procurement of this particular system. This matter will have to be subjected to the inquiry. It had to be referred to the inquiry. So part of what we've been doing in the last few weeks, Chair, since we announced the inquiry, we've been collecting information from different presentations that we've been receiving, and I'll take it that all the presentations that we've received so far give us an understanding of where we're going with the inquiry. So if you can prepare a detailed report on, as the Honorable Basson proposed, but give us even information pertaining to that procurement and those who are involved in the procurement of the project. Then what we then do, Chair, as we move to the meeting, because phase one of that inquiry has been collection of information. There's a lot of information that we've been collecting. phase two will be there for the inquiry itself.
Let me guide you, Mr.
Yeah,
you are now dealing with other matters.
Okay, now that's right. Thank you.
I can see the passion and the pace in which you want us to move into.
My apologies.
You are in concert with what Mr. Basson has said, that there be a comprehensive report. Now, what we are going through, which then means that for us to continue with the report contradicts with what we are saying. In other words, we should have one comprehensive report upon which we then engage with that discussion in that comprehensive report. So it does not make sense, therefore, that we continue discussing the matter. The rest of the other issues related to the inquiry belong elsewhere. Okay? Mr. Thomas?
No, I've already apologized. I've said that, so I was going to propose that that information should be made available. You need to put up a timeline.
That's what we need to do.
On that information.
Mr. Pasan?
Just to conclude, Chairperson, the report should also have annexes with evidence documents. This is the process, this is tender process, this is where we advertised. Proof of that. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. You want to conclude, anyone taker on the timeline?
Next week.
We have it next week. This is information that you have readily in your fingertips, I would imagine. The WTECFO, you have that on your fingertips. Meaning, therefore, by next week, we can have that. Effectively, all of that means is that we should have it by tomorrow, if we are to deal with it for next week. That's what it means, effectively. And for the fact that you literally have it here. Okay, let's give it week after next. Is that fair? That we have a short week this week and next week. Okay, so we are. What are you doing here? Oh, okay, okay. Okay. Somebody is holding the fort in the office. Okay, we're fine. Week after next, we shall have to receive such a comprehensive report on the matters. Okay, as to whether it is part of the inquiry or not, it's neither here nor there. Those issues shall have been lifted up. The terms of reference shall have been agreed upon. Whether or not those will include this specific program, that's another detail. So that discussion does not belong here now. Okay, thanks, DG. You can then go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We have already started talking about each of litigations. Firstly, the department. The department has a total number of litigations that amounts to 135, and the cost implication thereof is 100 million, 120,000. The water boards have total of 23 litigations, and the cost implications, if those cases are not successfully defended, is 71.5 million. The status of the current repayment of the 2.9 overdraft for the water trading entity. At the beginning of last year, the National Treasury set conditions for the overdraft repayment during the 2017-18 financial year, and that's how they stipulated that by June 2017 the entity should have paid 200 million, and that was done. Then by end of March 2018 the overdraft must have been reduced by 748 million, and during the 2018 financial year the remainder of the overdraft will then be reduced. In terms of the status, the balance at the 30th June 2017 was 2.2 billion, and the balance at the end of March 2018 was 2 billion. The next item is the issue of the water and sanitation bill. I think previously we came to Portfolio Committee on the 8th of November 2017. The department reported that the drafting of the water and sanitation bill is at an advanced stage. A number of activities have been undertaken and completed as per the approved roadmap. And at the time we did provide the roadmap. And the bill was also presented to the FOSAT cluster for review. The bill was also submitted for preliminary certification to the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor, and the feedback was received in October. The first bite of it, the OXLA, or the Office of State Law Advisor, did not grant the preliminary certification of the bill. The bill is back to the department, is being revised to address the matters as raised by the Office of the State Law Advisor. The Water Research Commission Amendment Bill, this is one of the bills that I think the process was sort of overtaken by events, because this bill was first introduced in the National Assembly in 2013 and was published in the Government Gazette number 36754 of 16 August 2013. due to some developments in the water and sanitation sector, the bill has been reviewed and the draft will be introduced to the Honorable Minister of Water and Sanitation in May 2018. The CEO of the Water Research Commission did allude to this effect that indeed you will need the time to come and brief the Minister on the development of this bill. Progress report on the water master plan. You recall that before the new minister came on board, this process started of the water sanitation of the water and sanitation master plan. It went through the social cluster, the economic cluster. But when the minister came in, the minister had a new vision in terms of how the department should be going forward, and the minister has since outlined the five key strategic pillars in terms of how the department should be configured. And obviously this process being done prior to that, it means this bill now won't be finalized by March 2018, because it has to take into account the vision of the current minister. So the minister has indicated that that process will be stopped so that we can look into the new vision of the department. But the previous process, it went through the clusters. It was submitted through the Office of the DG to take it forward to the minister so that it can go to cabinet, so that it can open for public consultation. But now it has to take into account how the minister wants to take the department forward. There was a question about instruction on outsourcing of construction projects. The instruction was provided in a departmental briefing session held on the 6th of February 2015. Obviously, the instruction is captured in the departmental minutes, where the minister was chairing the minutes, and the date of those minutes, the date of that minute was 6th of February 2015. Then there was a question about asset register of the construction unit. What we did here, we broke down the assets per each province. Free State, Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, and so forth. I think they put Bloemfontein there by mistake, should be Free State. But the total assets at cost Well, firstly, the number of assets is 2,767, and the cost is about 1.3 billion. And the book value after the accumulated depreciation, because all these assets were bought some time, is 611 million. Progress on the construction of the Mzumvubu Dam. I think, Chair, on this one, as much as we provided information here, last week we agreed that we'll need to come with TCTA and do a detailed presentation on this one. But some of the work was given to TCTA. It's better if both of us, the department and TCTA, come. That's what was agreed last week. So I won't go through as much as the details are there on it. Then the governance issues, status of boards, of all water boards. I think when I started, I did touch on the process, but here is a table that shows each water board, when was it appointed, and its term, whether it does have a CE, whether there is a board, or the CE is an accounting authority. Amatola, the board was appointed in February 2016 over for a term of four years, so it ran up to January 2020. And the CE, they have a fairly new CE there, is appointed on April 1, 2018, and her term runs up to March 2023. So there are no issues there. Bloom Water, the board of Bloom Water ran its term up to the end of March 2018. The minister has extended the term of the board for 3 months so that this process can, of appointing a new board, can start. And the CE was appointed in April 2018, and the hair contract as well ran up to March 2023. Lipele Northern Water, the board was appointed in April 2016, it runs up to March 2020, and the CE was appointed in January 2017, and his contract ran up to December 2022. Mahalis is one of those boards, like Bloom Water and Rainwater, where their contracts came to an end of March, and their board term has been extended till June 2018. Mhlatuze, as well as Overbeck. Okay, maybe Mhlatuze first. The board was terminated in April 2017, and the interim CE that is appointed was appointed from June 2016, and the CE is also an accounting authority. I think it's the same story as Overbeck. I've touched on Rainwater. Sedibeng 1, the current board that is under review was appointed in April 2017 to March 2021. And the CE was appointed in May 2014 to June 2019. So the process to appoint a new board is underway. But what is underway there, Chair, is the process that the Minister spoke about of looking at the status, the legality of all these boards. Because this one of Sedibeng is one of those, as well as the Umgeni, that is in question. Hence, this afternoon we're meeting the Senior Council to brief so that we can sort out the composition of this board. Let's conclude the summary of the outstanding issues, Chair. And the reports were submitted earlier on this one, Chair. Then there were matters that were submitted late yesterday. The the issue of the Motau report. The former minister appointed Motau report and appointed Advocate Motau. Then Motau made a preliminary report to the minister. So in the department, we don't have records where the minister gave that report to the digital process in the department or acknowledged it to the or accepted it, that report. So we do have a copy of preliminary report, but unfortunately we have not yet briefed. We have the copy of that preliminary report in the department, but the new minister has not had sight of it. Yesterday we agreed that the minister must first have a view of it before we present it to Parliament. Hence, when my colleagues told me that it was an additional request yesterday, I said the report needs to be presented to the minister first before we because the minister doesn't have any knowledge of it. He heard about the Motau report, but he has not gone through it to say what is contained in it. So it will be provided, Chair, but through the minister.
And the agreement between yourselves and National Treasury or Reserve Bank, not sure which is which, on your overdraft?
The CFO for the trading entity will talk to each chair, but there's no agreement. What we had was a letter from National Treasury outlining, whether we call it agreement or... It was a letter from National Treasury.
Letter?
CFO? Sorry, with your permission.
The letter was provided, as far as I know, but it was the letter we...
Where is the letter?
Obama?
When you enter any overdraft agreement, we all do enter into any overdraft agreement. You sign an agreement. Perhaps let me speak for myself. Whenever I go for an overdraft, you apply from your bank, and then you are subjected to a signature, as to a signing of that agreement. Both are terms there, percentage-wise. This is how much you are going to pay. So any overdraft gets you subjected to such, unless we have different understandings. Mr. Tepasa?
Chairperson, I totally agree. Chairperson, I don't want us to get into the situation where 2-3 years from now this thing pops up again and then there's no documentation. Now, we had a concern last year on the overdraft about the interest, and they have submitted a letter from National Treasury to say there's no interest on it. But the mere fact is, Chairperson, we need to see a concrete agreement between National Treasury and the Department on the payment of this. Otherwise, we'll get to a situation where someone else is the new DG or the new responsible person at National Treasury, and they just cut their budget with two billion rand because there's no agreement. So even if there isn't, I think the department should request a firm signed agreement between National Treasury and the department.
Mr. Mkiza?
Chair, sorry, I was in my pack, the letter is there. I've asked my support team to make copy immediately of the letter. But in the letter it says... Treasury, in order to... The letter from the National Treasury is dated 24th April 2017, where they state that the department shall jointly agree on this kind of arrangement.
Can you have a copy of that?
Yes, I've asked them to make the copy immediately.
So from today onwards, let us agree. There is no overdraft agreement between yourselves and Reserve Bank. It has never been there, despite the fact that you've been talking about it all the time. It's even in your submissions. Anyway, that could just be, by the way, a very important one, though. Mr. Chowkey, Mr. Basson? You can speak through the mic.
I think we have not given the CFO to speak. I wanted to hear him.
Okay.
Give me a chance.
Okay.
You have just outlined the process of the understanding on overdraft and agreement. So I thought you would speak on that. But as you do that checking, we agree that it's clear that there has been an engagement with the Reserve Bank. Can you disclose that? What you have discussed with the Reserve Bank on this? And if there are minutes, can you please provide us with those minutes between yourself and the Reserve Bank as we discuss the overdraft? And specifically, you may want to talk to us about the person that you are talking to at the Reserve Bank. And if possible, you can give us the name and the date of those meetings.
Chairperson, can I request that this point just stand over till we get the copy in our hands and then deal with the issue?
You fine with that? It's a valid point. You were saying, Gigi, that the copies have been made. So it's not going to take us another one day. Okay, can we then move to other matters? I still insist on the breakdown of those litigations. Reading the numbers doesn't assist me, because I really would wish to have an overall picture. This is a lot of money, 100 million rands on legal fees, effectively. Mr. Basson noted Mr. Mguni.
Chairperson, this is not legal fees.
I hear you.
This is the amount that is contested. I want to know what is the legal fees.
Mm.
Well, 9 out of 10 times the legal fees are much more than the amount that's been contested. So if you read this correctly, this 100 million is the amount that's not been paid, that is under which is contested, as well as 71 million. They haven't given us the legal fees on these two items.
Mr. Mguna?
I think on the legal one, it has been covered. I wanted to check that thing, because litigation and legal, these are two different things.
Yeah.
And number two, I wanted to check about this master plan. You know, we they said by 2018 March. What's the challenge? Because we have not received anything now, as we're speaking now. If there's any explanation, maybe they did, but I'll need to them to repeat.
Mr. Chauka?
No, I think on the issue of legal fees, we need to have that breakdown. The issue of the system, what we try to come to is not enough. Now, we did discuss the particular.
department will not be in a position to produce that legislation. The committee may opt to take its own route. It's a mandatory, it's a political mandate that we're supposed to perform. And I'm worried that we now go into the first recess, second recess, and then after August, we're not going to have parliament. March. Yes. It's going to be a recess for a long time. It's election year. Coming back next year, there will only be a budget process next year. After budget, it's elections. So it's clear that we may not get that, that process. So what we must propose, maybe, Chair, is that the department next week, you should give us the detailed plan on legislation, on that particular, especially the what the repealing legislation, not the other legislation, the repealing legislation that has been set, which I think at some point we're given a draft. Just a detailed plan as to, you know, at what point should we doing what, and when do you expect this project? Because as you said, that the lost lead advisors referring back to yourself. So there will be a particular a process that you're going to engage on. So if you can give us that process, so that we're able to weigh that either the committee should use the draft that we have submitted to start its own process, because we do have capacity as a committee thing to do that exercise. If the department is unable to meet that, for sure, because as we said that, we invite the parliamentary legal advisor and the law state advisor together, and then we can then deal with the process and maybe bring up a draft bill from the committee point of view, and then initiate that whole process. The committee can do that. That is my point, Chair. The second, last one of yours will be, you did submit, I think, if I'm not wrong, the asset register of the construction unit. Was it submitted? I can't remember, because I'm going to, okay, yeah, we'll have to check, Chair, that document. The importance of that, DG, you'll agree with me. It's important to disclose this asset that the construction unit owns. We have to follow it up as part of what we want to transform in that construction unit. It's important to know what assets are in position of that particular unit, so that as we deal with the transformation of that construction unit, we have a full understanding, because we know that scattered all over the provinces, they got not only machinery, they got land, they got properties, they got all of that. So it's important that asset register must be subjected to really a full investigation by yourself, obviously, just to get to know the status of these assets and where they are and all of that. And for the committee of parliament to be able to know about these assets. So those are my points, but I think so far I'm fine.
The construction unit breakdown has been given. Of course, save for, again, another breakdown. Because I'm seated here trying to get a sense as to what are these assets that we're talking about? Whether these are your yellow vehicles, whether these are your buildings. Just the other day, I was in some briefing somewhere, where they were talking about public works, owned buildings, whether those also include, I think there was an issue, I remember, because there was in PE, that they are currently in a process of transferring some of those assets under public works, because they pay so much of levies and taxes on those buildings that the respective custodians of those properties be given back to their respective, in this case, water, among others, along your dams, where those dams have been or shall have been constructed. The department has been building all sorts of
housing units. And the state of affairs of those. I happen to have, you know, visited one staff member in a place in East London called Nawoon Dam, and the state of those houses is so bad. They are not maintained at all. It's like you're living, you're having people here who, you know, live, I don't know in what type of housing, you know, and they don't even care themselves about those housing units. It was quite a very interesting first-hand experience, you know, just seated there and then asking a specific question, who owns this building? And then they were telling, no, 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 these are buildings or other properties that are owned by the department. So Public Works is then handing over those assets. So for me, as we talk about assets, yes, you have broken down them, in accordance with the provinces. But what are those assets that we're talking about? So that you don't have, you know, a rule of thumb that is not operational. So. When we do this oversight, we mean serious business. We are guarding the public purse. We want to make sure that public money is protected and it is used optimally. So that we don't have a situation where you're going to be told, you know, there are so much assets worth this much, depreciated over a period of time, now valued at this much. You don't have any, you know, situation where you are going to be told, you know, the litigation costs, you know, are this much. You want details, if you like. And your officials are supposed to assist you in this regard, so that you know, you look so that you look handsome. Your officials are supposed to prepare that job for you. They are employed to do that. When we talk about managers who cannot manage, we talk about those officials. I was saying to Ndileka the other day, when referred to her by the Deputy Minister, again on a matter of on war on leaks, which I did not hear much about it. I thought you'd say more. I was telling her, because she was telling me again, confirming the point that says your war on leaks is indeed in your APP, but not budgeted for. And then I was asking a simple question, how does that happen? And then she was explaining something that is not explainable. And then I was simply telling her that if I were to be in a position of being in charge of your department, I would have expelled all of you because you cannot manage. If you cannot manage, it means you are undoubtedly going to fail to plan. It's simple things like those. So your managers are failing you. Because you are supposed to present here and submit here prepared documentation. And that documentation can only be prepared by your managers, from DDG to chief director to director level. If they cannot do that, they are not worth the mentioning of being managers. If I were in your position, whether they are there on a permanent job or not, you'll find every reason to disperse them. from your employment situation. So that's where I otherwise we are repeating the same. I can just tell one thing. It is demoralizing us. And I can imagine, having been here yourself, looking at us, we're repeating the same thing, we're getting demoralized because we're losing hope. You can't come here and just present half the job. Where are your managers? Mr. Bazan?
The Chairperson, on the same issue of the construction unit, I just need to understand, and I would use Glen William as an example, the department spent on that project 250 million rand. So there was site establishment done, these offices. Surely that is now, should be in the construction unit's asset register. Of course, it belongs to the department. Now let's just say that buildings are 50 million rand. Others are. I don't know whether you've been to Glen William on the site. I've been there a few times. And the equipment that I've seen there. Now I know this is book values. You write off, but surely we need to see also what is the replacement cost of these equipment and assets that's there. I presume this department or the construction unit. The equipment must be, replacement value must be somewhere around 5 billion rand. If this is over the period of time, you paid 1.3 billion for it. If you replace it now, I've seen new equipment. I've seen well-maintained equipment at Glen William, which you won't buy for the value you've got here as well. I think, just if it's possible, give us a breakdown of, as the Chairperson said, which of these are equipment, which are buildings, what assets, is there computers in this department, is there highly, you know, they've got this department also do designing, so they've got equipment that is expensive, big printers. I think we need to get a sense of eventually what is within this department and maybe what is the replacement value of equipment there. Chair, on the other issues, I think we can spend time on this document we received, Chair.
Any comments?
No, the CFO wants to talk to the issue of assets, but Chair, because these assets, I mean the asset register, is so voluminous. Maybe when we submit that, we request that maybe submit in a memory stick, because even if we print it, to follow it, because the asset register is like many categories on it. Even on the A3 page, when we try to print on the A3 page, still the writing becomes so small. It's better if when you read it on a computer where you can enlarge and do all those things. Same with the information that you requested for the dams. That information was so voluminous because it's over 5,000 dams. It could not be printed. So with your the CFO will talk to the issue of asset register, but with your permission, if you allow us to submit a soft copy, like a memory stick or a band disc, where this information can be viewed, because it cannot, the way it is, how it's classified on the surplus asset register, it becomes impractical or impossible to read it.
Yeah. The acting DG said what I wanted to say now. It's a very detailed list, so there's many, many items on there. So ideally, we can just send it to you on the CD. And then also just to mention, there's no fixed assets there. These are all movable assets. Any buildings still belong to the water trading entity. The construction unit only has the movable assets, the machinery that they use to build the dams. No fixed assets or buildings included.
Okay, that's fine. Let's go back to we look forward to that submission in a memory stick or any form of soft copy. Let's go back to the letter written by National Treasury acting DG at the time. Comments?
Chairperson, here the problem starts. If you look at C on the first page, reduce the remainder of the overdraft during the 18-19 financial year. When? What is the plan? What does it look like? We don't know. Is it affordable for them to pay this? Because, Chairperson, when was it? I think it was on the 21st of November last year when we had a meeting with the Department and National Treasury. We asked National Treasury that, is it going to be cast in stone paying this amount in one financial year, 2 billion rand out of our budget? And National Treasury said, no, we can negotiate. I then made a proposal to the department, while you are in good terms paying and will reduce, go back to National Treasury and get a longer period to pay off. It's not, there's no interest on this money. But if you've got to pay it off in one financial year, it will harm service delivery of this department. It will take us to a standstill. So Chairperson, we've got a grey area. Somebody else comes there and I thought you're going to pay all this money in July. You haven't paid, you on default. They already said here in this letter that the department is in default. And I don't know whether we really can afford paying 2 billion out of in 1 year. We've got to pay it out of the 5 billion or 16.2 billion budget. How do you manage that? And 9 out of 10 times you're going to borrow again. You've got to maybe borrow again. Otherwise, there will be no money left for any new developments or projects in this financial year. Exactly what happened last year. No new project started. They utilized the money to finalize. And Chairperson, we need a clear a document from the department. How are they going to pay it? Chairperson, you know what happened last year. It's going to happen this year again. We're going to get this money. We get 3-4 different versions. Acting DG goes out, he comes back, he comes with a new plan. Then the minister says, no, it's not going to work like that. She comes with a new plan. So they must come up with a proposal, how they're going to deal with it. I still believe they must go back to National Treasury and negotiate a document as we request. Signed agreement, everybody knows what is expected from who and the amounts, unless you can show this committee that you can afford to pay this 2 billion. Because I made an assumption last week, and I think I'm not wrong, that your accruals are 7.5 billion rand. That includes this 2 billion you've got to pay. Now show me where you're going to get that money. Because you owe the water boards, you owe them, you owe this 100 million, you owe, because it's accrual. If you lose the case, you've got to pay it. It comes from somewhere. And most probably there would be other amounts not paid that we will receive soon from you. But I still need to understand how you're going to finance it. And rather be to the portfolio committee, be honest and say, we cannot afford to pay this 2 billion. We need to seek, and if we need to sit down with National Treasury as well, Chairperson, to assist. But we cannot afford another year where we just pay the previous year's accruals and the previous year's accruals, and our infrastructure is not maintained.
we don't see new infrastructure, and we're just moving backwards. We're moving every year within this department, we move backwards. Jefferson, like you say, we're getting frustrated about this. You know, we've got a constituency outside there that's struggling. People are burning northwest down because there's no service delivery. Now, it's not just water and sanitation. It's health, it's COCTA, it's everybody. But we are part of the problem of no service delivery in South Africa. So Chairperson, someone's got to stand up, be bold and say, we can't finance, we can't pay this, we must make another plan. Otherwise, this has got a knock-on effect. And next year, everything is 10-15% more expensive, then we can't go ahead with this project, there's not enough money. So, Chief, please, someone take honesty. You know, what worries me is what the acting DG said just now when I said, delegate that. And then he says, to who? Now, Chief, he's got managers. If the managers can't do the job, get rid of them. You can't do everything yourself. You've got to delegate. That's why people are getting a salary to do the work on behalf of the people of South Africa. And then you tell me, to whom must I delegate it? DG, that's your problem. You've got to sort that out. You are acting in this position. You are the responsible person. And if you give somebody a task to do and he cannot do it, then take disciplinary action against him.
Thank you. Just to start off with, we've never spoken to anybody at the Reserve Bank. We don't speak to them at Reserve Banks. National Treasury control the account. They're the people that control the account. They're the people that said to us they're going to stop the account, freeze the account, the beginning of April last year. So the people we speak to is Ulrika Britton. She's the lady that came and made a presentation to the Portfolio Committee about this repayment, to say what the repayment was. She's also the lady that said there's no interest on this overdraft. And she was saying it's not allowed. They never took into consideration that it could happen that somebody would have an overdraft. So their laws, their acts, don't make provision for charging interest. So, and I think in the same way, they just gave us this letter to say this is how we're going to repay. There's no agreement. It's not like a bank, because nobody should be able to go to them and say we want an overdraft because it's not allowed. It shouldn't be there. It doesn't make provision. So all we have is just this letter to say what the repayment will be.
But you did go for an overdraft.
Sorry?
You did go for an overdraft.
Yeah, but we shouldn't have. It shouldn't have.
So in other words, you did an illegal thing.
I can't deny that, no. It shouldn't have happened. If I may continue. The other person we speak to is Mr. Veni Nobeni. He's the gentleman that came in November that presented to you that also said we can talk about this repayment. It's negotiable. The very next day I phoned him and said, can we talk? He said, no, show us first that you're going to do your commitment for the first year. Repay the portion and then come back and talk. Show us that you're serious and you're going to repay that. So we did that. We sent them a letter the last week in March this year to say we want to spread it over 3 years. They came back and said, let's get together and have a talk. Let's talk about it. We met now on Friday the 20th to talk about that. But then we came up with an additional option, saying instead of we've got an option, we can pay it over 3 years, or we can look at the immediate needs of the department. And we identified paying TCDA, having this big bond repayment in August, as being a very crucial need for the department to assist them. So we said to them, let's just a suggestion. We said to them, instead of repaying it, leave the overdraft for now. Just leave it together. We take a surplus and we pay an additional amount towards TCTA to reduce that debt, just to assist, so that the government guarantees don't get called upon. So they said now this is the first of many meetings. We'll get together again. They're going to meet internally, then they'll call us for another meeting to come and assist us. So they haven't made a decision yet, but those are the options on the table. We sent them a letter to say let's spread it over 3 years because we've achieved our first year goals. Or the second option was, let's leave the overdraft for now. Let's look at TCDA. What is the worst of the evil? So we said TCDA, maybe it's a bigger need to pay off additional amounts of TCDA. But the meeting was now on the 20th, this Friday passed, and they're going to get back to us now. for the next meeting.
Where do we start? We want to address some of the agenda.
It's a serious issue, I must say. Somebody has done something illegal. And who is that somebody? Is that you? Okay.
Listen, as I understand and the negotiation or the discussions we had, the problem was that National Treasury had no other option to borrow that money to them on an overdraft. Otherwise, the guarantees would have been called up, and that's why they had to go that route. The same reason why they now need another two and a half billion, because the water trading TCTA needs that money to pay loans. They don't have the payment, down payments. They don't have the. Well, for projects that the money goes to the water trading entity. And they don't have the money to pay TCTA, so they will once again have to go and borrow that money or utilize the money they would have used to pay this to make sure they can pay TCTA in this financial year. I think, well, they couldn't go into overdraft because their account was frozen by National Treasury in April last year. So I think Treasury was in a catch-22 that either the bonds will be called up or I've got to make a plan and let them go into overdraft. So, yeah, maybe it's not the department's fault going into overdraft, but the management of the finances, there becomes the problem. Who's responsible? Why is it that we get every year, well, last year and this year, accruals? And it's increasing. And that needs to be explained as well. Because they can't collect their money. And we received a report from Minister Nene last year, where Minister Nene, in the portion of water and sanitation, said, equitable share, we can utilize now the equitable share as the last option to get our money back. So the department can, what's the amount outstanding? 10 billion? You see, it's nearly grown with 2 billion.
It's grown by 1.2 over the financial year.
In this financial year. So, Chair, you know, I think that's where we also need to focus on. Next year it's going to be 13 billion and the accrual is going to be 10 billion and it's not going to be too long where the accrual is going to exceed the budget of this department.
Who is responsible for this illegal action? Illegal act.
I would have to say it was the CFO at the time.
What do we do? Now, granted, he's gone. What do you do?
Okay, I was speaking offline. I was saying we fix the problem. I hear Honorable Person talks about accruals and this. The accruals are on the department side, on the main account. This is entity, water trading entity. I know it's a thin line between water trading entity, but this TCTA, this overdraft, is on the water trading side, so which is not on the budget of the main account. So the accruals are managed on the on the main account side. But Chair, I think we're working closely with Treasury in terms of fixing
this problem in terms of agreeing what needs to happen. Especially, we went through the current acting CFO, a rigorous process with National Treasury in terms of looking at the why the water trading entity was established and what are their core functions that they need to pay for. Hence, you see now some of the problems that were lying under the water trading entity are on the department side, on the main account side, because all these things that were classified as non-core issues of the water trading entity were sort of transferred over to the main account. So we are cleaning this water trading entity. Then, unfortunately, the database of the problems now are on the main account. That's where now actions are being taken in terms of the people who caused this misconduct, and also correcting it going forward so that this thing doesn't perpetuate in terms of having internal controls in place, so that it happened, but it stopped. It shouldn't go further. So I think all those processes are in place. Fortunately, the water trading entity has the skilled financial people. I think they have more than three CAs. Paul, one himself, is a chartered accountant. We have other two chartered accountants that are working in terms of cleaning this water trading entity. But also the team of National Treasury, we meet them on a regular basis to clean up this thing. The meeting that he spoke about of last week, I also received a communique from National Treasury that we need to meet ASAP based on the last statement on the letter that in the 2018 financial year we need to review and see how we can agree in terms of paying the overdraft. So hopefully next week I'll be here in Cape Town again. The other week when I'm in Pretoria, I will meet with National Treasury. I'll indicate my availability so that we can clear this thing and come back to portfolio committee with that kind of agreement that we are looking for, where we have agreed on National Treasury, whether it's a letter, but where both parties agree, this is how we're going to reduce the debt going forward. So it's a process that we are working on, and I will keep the portfolio committee informed of the development with the National Treasury. Thank you very much.
I'm going to clean. I'm going to clear up. One day I shall work for government department. When I do an illegal thing, all what I shall be told, we shall fix, we shall clean, we shall clear. Then we can walk away. This is nice. R2.9 billion. Isn't it nice?
It's a difficult one, Chairperson, to pose a question to me. No. Oh, yes.
Chairperson, I think this should be a lesson. And on this lesson, because it's not only this issue that we've got a problem with. In fact, it can be so many structural problem within the department. I want to pose this question on the person that was always dealing with that challenge, who was in charge of the whole scenario, all things, according to the DG, acting DG.
Why don't we call it by its name? On the person who was dealing with that crime.
Crime.
Because when we talk challenge, you know, we've been so soft.
Yes, yes.
It's a crime.
Well, we try to be diplomatic, you see. Even though sometimes you must be very Iraq-like style, so that we can show the radicalism behind this thing. The capacity. The person had the capacity. If you check that capacity, no, he had capacity. Where the check and balances, monitoring and evaluation, assessment of the problem. You see, because it might lie, one, on the capacity of the problem, of the person. Or if the person had the capacity, it might lie on the check and balances. Or somebody had forcing or was forcing himself or herself in ensuring that that person does something that is good, even if the person is doing. And if you check those, what's the capacity now? Even if you love to clean, if the same capacity is still not there, what's still going to have a problem? This thing will keep on hiking every year. And that is the question, that is the statement and question. That is not only on this issue, in this crime. Around the department, the entire, we know, DG. Hey, DG. We know, Pedagogutin, to be hired in a post of DG, DDGs. Well, you need to be having a certain skill, certain qualification, certain experience and expertise. You cannot just take a person with a grade 8 person to handle such a magnitude department, such a structure, and you expect the results. You expect the results. Because now we have to hold this thing while hot. No, we deal with those issues. And sure, we structurally go and put medicine that can cure those problems. In the entire system, the chairperson has said, I'm agreeing with you, Chair. Nami, if I was put in the footstep of the DG, I was going to clean. I was not afraid. Using the same policies that are enacted by the department and the government. But if a person does not fit, why do you put a bolt where it does not fit? It won't hold. It won't hold, or it will be small to get in that particular way it has to screw up. So make sure that the proper people and are getting in there. You see, with the department, you are killing it. We have killed it. It dies in all our hands. It dies right here.
Okay. I'm tempted to suggest that we park on this one. It is definitely a candidate for our inquiry. There must be consequences. It cannot just be a matter simply classified as fixing, as cleaning, as clearing. It ends there. And somebody gets away with murder. We need to get into the root of it and be able to say, this is how we are moving forward. Somebody must account. We want to set an example going forward. That you don't mess up with state coffers. You don't mess up with the monies of the people out there. You know, Mr. Basson, yeah, just going back to, you know, this party political thing. One old man who is part of the Veterans League. Right. Now there's a discussion in that branch that he belongs to, that person has to be elected into some position of being a treasurer or something to that effect. And one of them reminds the rest, no, we can't appoint that one. That one, in 1958, he stole money. This is 2017.
talking of an act that happened in 1958. That's how that fellow couldn't succeed to be the treasurer of that branch. So it doesn't end here today. As they say, the arm, the long, the, what, how do they put it? The arm of the law is long. It shall catch up with you. You shall be wherever, or you shall be expected to be whatever, wherever, and it shall come back on you. The records are there. Okay, for now, as I said, my proposition would be that let's park on this one. We have an inquiry that is pending. So it should be part of those, for sure. It is a candidate. I was also tempted to ask another related question. What happened to debt collection? Is it still there? Employed? Is he still working? You had a debt collector who was earning about 11% on any collection. What happened to that? The figures are going up from 10 to 11.2 billion. I tell you, that is only municipalities, am I right? And with your water boards.
Before you come in, it's part of this cleaning. The contract for the debt collector ended, was it in March this year? 31 March this year. And hence, we're having capacity there in terms of the skilled people at junior level, reconfiguring the finance unit there, so that they can deal with this issue of debt collection within the department. We are not engaging any services of an external contractor. But I know you have ruled on the issue of the 2.9 billion, and the Honorable Mungwenya spoke about the issue of capacity. I think not only in our department, even in other departments, you have the issue of senior officials at senior positions that happened to be there a long time ago, and the issue of administration evolves and requires certain qualifications and certain experience. But there's very little you can do if those people, those warm bodies, are sitting in those positions. You rely on the attrition rate, whether anything happens to them, but really then you have to end up working with people at the lower levels who are more skilled than them, who can do the work. But we do have that problem where you find senior officials sitting in position that when you look at the current requirements of those posts, they don't necessarily qualify for those positions. But also with the rider on this 2.9 billion, say, not that the CFO stole the 2.9 billion. It was an issue of budgeting, because the budget was balanced with the debt, with the hope that the municipalities, the money that the 3.9 billion at the time that was owed to the water trading entity was going to be received from the municipalities. When municipalities stopped paying the water trading entity, unfortunately, the money was committed on projects. But they had already committed, because the water trading entity is not like the department that depends on the equitable share. You know exactly how much you've been given. But with the water trading entity, they do their forecast or their projections in terms of the revenue they're going to receive in a year, then commit those commitments to projects. But in that money that they committed, there was money that was not guaranteed that they're going to receive, like the money from the municipalities. At the time, it was 3.9. Now it's going up. as Paul was alluding to it, including water board is about 11 billion now. Municipalities are not paying, unfortunately. So that's how the whole thing happens within the water trading entity. Part of the cleanup that I'm talking about, Chair, is that finance people shall never, they will never do the budget and balance it with debt, saying that this money is not in my control, I'll receive it. Projects are committed based on the money on hand. In a nutshell, this is part of the problem that what was happening there, but also what Honorable Mungoni touched on, the issue of capacity. Because previously here in the committee, we did provide the list of qualifications of senior officials in the department. Some of the things you saw there, some of people not having the relevant qualifications, especially to lead a budget of that magnitude with the skills that the CFO had at the time. With the skills, with some of the DDGs, the function that they're looking at, it becomes the job becomes bigger than the individual. Unfortunately, as human beings, if I'm here, they say, be a DG. I can't say, no, I can't do it. I'll just make an example of the DG, because it comes with status. I'm a DG, I've got money, there's money involved into it. You take a function that ordinarily you know that you can't do it. I'm just making an example of this one.
Teaching.
It happens with all other positions.
Teaching. What do we do about those that do not have the requisite skills? No, the requisite qualification. What do we do? They are in such a responsible and senior positions. Yes, they are employed. Yes, they have full-time, if you like, permanent job. But they are employed wrongly. What do we do?
The minister has come up with a structure where he outlined, he wrote to me as acting DG that this is a structure. How the department is currently configured is not going to be able to address the mandate that it has. And he has come up with an interim structure. And in that interim structure, it clearly states that the deployment of the DDGs must be in line with the skill set, talking to the qualifications and experiences of those DDGs. It's a challenge because I know we're going to face some labor relations matters in terms of moving people who are sitting in certain positions. But it's a challenge that I think we have to face now than never for us to address the issues in the department. We have the structure that the minister has given to me as acting DG that I need to go and implement in the department. So it's part of the cleaning up that we are doing, Chairperson and committee members.
Any further issues, Mr. Basson?
Just the last bite on this, Chairperson. The acting DG just said now that, you know, they've changed the way they deal with the outstanding amounts within their department. They have utilized, or that was part of their income. But Chairperson, they told us that previous financial year, this 15-16 financial year, you've made the mistake. That's why you have to borrow that money in the new financial year. Now you tell me that you've increased with 1.2 billion. But sure. But you had to pay out of that budget. You had to pay 2.4 billion to TCTA. How much? What's the shortage? Because that means that whatever you have done in the 15-16 year implemented in the 16, well, now you've done it in the 16-17 financial year, and you've implemented it in the 17-18 financial year. It also didn't work because you although you've grown, I accept that, 1.2 billion, you are still short of 2.4 billion for water drainage, for TCTA. And that is a problem.
May I respond?
Yeah.
In TCTA's annual financial statements for the previous year, they were showing the 2.5. So we've tried to keep that balance as it is, so we haven't increased. The problem was before the same year with the overdraft, at that year end, 31 March 17, that's already there were 2.5 there for TCTA. So we haven't channeled the paying back the overdraft at the expense of TCTA. But there is a problem with TCTA. If I can say, our debt increased by 1.2, our debtor's book is 11.2. 4.1 of that money is related to TCTA. So if I can just explain, on a normal invoice, we've got four charges on an invoice. We've got a CMA charge, it's very small, that money goes to the CMA. We've got a Water Research Commission charge, also very small, that goes to them. Then we've got the TCTA charge. Now we've got to pay that money across to TCTA, whether we receive it or not, because they're expecting it. That's part of their income. When they look at their loans, how are they going to repay their loan? So that money, even though we don't get that money, we're expected to pay that across. So in this financial year, related to TCTA, that hasn't been paid, increased by 604 million. So, 604, if I can say. So, I would say now, if I look at the figure, 4.1 belongs to TCTA of that money. And it's increased by 618 million this year, that debt. So, if we don't resolve the debt problem, we're going to always battle to pay TCTA the money. And now the other one is just the NWRR money, the other charge. That money goes towards maintenance and operations and maintenance, betterment. When we have to repay the overdraft, unfortunately, we've got to take their money. So we're reducing. We're not doing all the maintenance we should be doing because we've got to pay back the overdraft. So there was a mistake made in the past, but also now by Treasury making us repay that, we're making additional mistakes. So we're taking away maintenance money to repay the past. So it's correcting one mistake with other mistakes, which is also not a good thing.
That would have been your double T. If I just flash on the issue that you were raising, Mr. Person, related to the main account, specifically on the accruals. What does the future look like? Especially looking into implementation, continuation of some of those projects that you shall have started and that you had intention of pursuing. What does the future look like, say, in the current financial year? In terms of implementation of those that were expected to have been concluded upon and also planned accordingly, given the state of affairs with your accruals. Somebody was saying having to look at your grant funding, conditional or unconditional. The department and some of those that shall have been involved in, what's the word used, in embezzling, have their eyes on those grants. We're done with the departmental funding. Now there are grants that are coming, conditional or otherwise. Our eyes are now set on those grants. That's the only source of income that they would make. Any comments on that?
Chair, maybe I will
talk on overall plan in terms of our cost at APP for this year. That we are consolidating. The APP that we're going to put before the minister and the portfolio committee is the APP of things that we can deliver on, where there's adequate budget for it, where there's proper plans for it. Things that, like in the past, where you talk of interventions, things where you talk about things that are not aligned to the budgets, but they are in the APP. Those things we're isolating out on the APP. We're making sure that APP stuck to the budget. So with the internal controls that we are putting in place now, Chair, or that we started putting in place, because it's an ongoing process, I'm sure the space for all those things is getting smaller and smaller. And those things, as they are picked up, they'll be dealt with immediately.
Okay, I'm realizing that this is what we are expecting for now.
Perhaps we should get to hear more about those as and when we deal with them.
Okay, in the absence of any other matter, both in terms of, we still didn't say much on water, on one leak. If you don't want to, just very quickly.
Thank you, Chair. I think previously there was a detailed presentation on all leaks, but in terms of the APP that you're going to bring to the committee next week, and in line with the structure that the minister wants us to implement, it will be part of the maintenance program of the department. And in terms of how we're going to take the project going forward, we shall talk about it next week, Chair.
Are we fine? We have covered everything. And thank you for that. Yes, Bongo.
On the issue of that water master plan, I did not hear what because we wanted it to be finished by March 2018. The draft of it, and I did not get any idea. What's the plan now? Where are we?
Mam Kekan?
Chair. What's happened to the internal committee, audit committee? Thanks.
Okay, simple, straight to the point.
Okay.
Internal audit.
Now, internal audit, we have appointed the chief audit executive by the name of Emily's Nazar. She did come to the committee previously, and the audit committee is functioning, and we also have a risk management unit headed by Chris Dupree. Then in terms of the master plan, I did indicate earlier when I was presenting, Chair, that the master plan, with the previous process, it went through the social cluster, it had a green light, it went through the economic cluster, it went green light. It was in the process now, the submission was made to my office for it now, for me to present to the minister, for it to be presented to cabinet. But now, in line with the vision of the minister, of the new minister now, in terms of the five key strategic pillars where the department will be based on, which are the National Resource and Services Authority, National Resource and Service Regulator, the value chain of the department, the master plan, the issue of the institutional reform. The master plan need to talk to those five key pillars. So it could not go in its current form without making sure now that in line with the new vision, it looks into it. Because also we felt that, in fact not that we felt, this master plan is not a DWS or a departmental master plan. It's a is the overall master plan for the country. So it will determine the planning and how we move our infrastructure. So it shouldn't only be inward looking, also outward looking, and looking at how the department is going to move forward in terms of its mandate. Hence, it's been stopped. It was going to be ready for now in March, but now the new minister came in March. So hence, it's not going forward because we need to align it to these processes.
You are a fast learner about all of those five areas that constitute part of the vision of the new minister. You know them by heart.
But Chairperson, we still need, because we are doing oversight. You see, if now we say it cannot be ready by 18 March, when then do we expect it? Because it can't be just an open-ended thing. We need to do our own oversight. No, but you said it is, you see. So it's possible, we can park this one and let them come with it. Possible date when we can have this. We need to do oversight.
Quick response.
I will support the parking of it because we still have to present to the minister that master plan. And from there, then we can come up with a roadmap. Because it might happen that maybe there aren't many changes to it. They can come quicker, or there are fundamental changes that need to be made after we've presented to the minister and his team. So if we can pack it, and then after we've presented to the minister, then the minister can, or through the minister, we can come up with a roadmap. But I don't think it will be a long roadmap, since most of the work has been done.
Okay, let us park it for when we come back in August. Are we fine with that, Mr. Mguna?
Yeah, if members are fine, but I hope that we don't park it until August. We must get a date before August so that we know when we can. Because if we can park and start looking for a date in August, they will tell us the following year. You see. You know that's what they normally do. But if we, before we go for a research, for our own research, we must be having our own date. When are they going to be? What is the next due date? Maybe they might be saying August.
We are already in April, in May now, and May is almost done. We have beginning of June and second week of June, and then we are off here second week of June. Am I right? So that was the context of talking about August. I guess the point that Mr. Mguna is raising is that before we go on recess, let us have something. That's what I'm reading from what Mr. Mguna is saying, which will then mean that we shall have to reconfigure our program to suit that tabling or submission. Okay, maybe just one last part, which is not relevant to any of the issues that we've been talking about, but in my view, equally very relevant and sensitive. There was a child that fell into a pit latrine in Bizana, in the Eastern Cape, and subsequent, I think last week, there were others that died. That one died. There were others that died also, can't remember the number, in Limpopo. There was a court ruling which is still being contested, reading the newspaper yesterday, because the magistrate because they were contesting, I think, for a sum of about 2 million rand, damages, but they were quite disturbed. Family was quite disturbed about the ruling, which basically said, fix your pit latrines, fix your infrastructure on sanitation, and it ends there. Now, yes, it is a basic education issue. Like your township pipe bursting, that gets to be a local government issue. But that you have a department called water and sanitation. Anyone and everyone will knock on that door. You like it or not, you are not going to escape that. I would have thought that working together with basic education as and also local government, the department would have been the first ones to rush into that situation, knocking on the door, all in the name of collaboration. They have the budget, basic education, that is supposed to be talking about sanitation. As to whether or not they are making use of such a budget is a big question mark. I would have imagined that a department dealing with these matters should have been the fastest rushing into those areas. Of course, pulling those respective departments, whether COCTA or basic education in this regard, where the children died. And this committee, I would really... and trusting that I speak on behalf of all of us, that you know these are matters that we simply cannot just wish them away, all in the name of they don't belong here. We have a responsibility to pull the hand of those that are directly responsible for those, and make sure that whatever we can. Of course, you have had your fingers bent when it came to some of your emergency programs. Your AG has been upon you. You have gone beyond that and even went as far as irregular expenditure of no less than R1 billion. You've been going through all those. I am not saying you must use your money, but pull the hand of those that are directly in charge and responsible for those areas. If needs be, get into agreements with those. Because this is a matter that we cannot simply wish it away and keep quiet about it. When a child shall have died, one death is too many. If you want to make any comment on that, we're fine. No comment.
Thank you, Chair. No comment in the sense that I don't have a report. I don't have a report with me. I know the department is involved in those kind of processes, especially in the Eastern Cape, as well as in Limpopo. But the Reverend DDG has not yet given the report in terms of what has come up with the whole thing, the work that has been done there. But I know there are some work that are busy.
Okay. That being the comment made on behalf of the department, if there is anything else or nothing else, I guess we should adjourn this meeting until we meet next week on Wednesday, sorry. That this meeting having been planned as of last week, that we also were meant to meet for the whole day. A lunch has been prepared that shall only come in here at 1 o'clock, so that we avoid any fruitless expenditure. People shall eat. Committee shall eat. Department officials are invited.
Yeah, because we could have